Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Annabelle Tennis, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have a great guest here to introduce. It is Paul Victoria. I'm very, very happy to have him here, who is a visionary economist and unstoppable entrepreneur. Paul Victoria turns knowledge into power and clarity into real world growth. But before we continue with this, let's kick things off with a song selected by him.
Non torna, non torna,
Today, we welcome a voice that doesn't just analyze economics, he translates it. Hello and welcome, Paul Victoria. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Annabelle. It's a very pleasure to be here with you. Say hello to all to your audience, and it's an honor.
Thank you so much. I would like to introduce you with a few words, if you don't mind. You are a voice that doesn't speak about entrepreneurship. You live it. You learned early to question before conforming, to observe before judging, to understand before acting. While others accepted the world as it was, you wanted to uncover the laws behind it, the economic laws, the human laws, the invisible dynamics that shape our lives. From Madrid, your ideas now travel across the Spanish-speaking world. You train companies to develop their human capital, teaches entrepreneurs the mindset to grow, and guides professionals to master their time, money, and emotional intelligence. And you build something rare, an educational ecosystem that unites the economy, that explains the world with the entrepreneurial skills that transform personal destiny. Today, we walk through your journey, the curiosity of your childhood, the discipline of your youth, the decisions that shaped you, the failures that forged you, and the principles that fuel your success today. Get ready for a conversation with depth, clarity, and boldness, filled with practical hacks, uncomfortable truths, and mind-opening questions. Because when Paul speaks, you don't just hear theories. You hear truth distilled. So let's start, Paul, with your childhood and origins, identity, early sparks, emotional roots. What is your earliest childhood memory while your analytical nature was already visible?
Wow. I have so many memories of my childhood. Look, it was a not easy childhood, really. It was hard. I was raised in... although I first lived in Madrid, Spain, but then I spent 10 years of my life in Bogota, Colombia, South America. And those 10 years from 7 to 17 years old were some way very happy, but some way very, very hard. I was like in the middle of a war with a lot of violence around me. And it was really hard for a sensitive child as me and with an artistic soul to survive in all that madness, craziness, and war and violence. So it was really hard.
Wow, that sounds really challenging. And imagining this, it gives some stories in my head. And I imagine the small Paul seeing all of that and have no idea how to bring this all together in the world he wished it could be or should be. How did your family influence your view of work, effort, personal freedom, but also about what you can do in this world full of war you faced?
Well, I had a very interesting family. We were four children. And father and mother together. My father was involved in politics in Colombia, and on those 10 years, I lived all this politics, social situations, maybe civil war. My father was very persecuted by enemies of narco guerrillas, Marxist fighters, and drug dealers. So I was like in all this, like all the time escaping, death, kidnapping, etc. But I was also raised in a very intellectual home full of books, thousands of books, and a lot of culture and good music and classical music and opera and a lot of philosophy and history and very interesting subjects that both my parents taught me. So I was raised in a lot of culture, a lot of intellectual nutrition, but also in a very hard situation that shaped me as, well, let's say, a turbulent boy, which I think made me lose a lot of my essence. And then when I was very grown up, Then I had to little by little recover my essence, and I'm still like in the path again to that little child with golden hair, because I had a golden hair when I was a little boy, to that artistic essence, and now involved in entrepreneurship, business, politics, diplomacy, building a new country, etc. But without forgetting my artistic origins and essence.
And I think you need to have this wide perspective, which only a creative has, to get or live this vision you live, and this unstoppable plan to fulfill this. Because I think many others would have stopped by seeing all this. Signs of insecure times, this crisis and everything, the comfort the people prefer often over quality and over important decisions. And I can really feel you, because maybe we should talk about this another time. My father comes also from politics, or stepped into politics, and my mother is from creative, from music and painting, and we had always a very open family situation, but also confronted, as you said, with kidnapping, with punishment, with security, which gave me never the feeling that I could love without any love, just laugh, or just have fun, or just do things. I like having always these things in my mind, and I think maybe it were the same with you, but creativity stays, and also your political mind have stayed. Was there a moment in your childhood when you realized you thought differently from others, or where you had the feeling that my parents stay in the system, but I want to stay in the system without playing the system? I want to get over the system and give people a chance to live a better and more life, more quality, more vision.
Well, indeed, I grew up since I remember since my very young childhood to be different from other children. I had the constant feeling of not being understood of by others. Also, my inclinations, like all the children were playing football, soccer, and I wasn't. I was more like in reading books or poetry or singing or playing the piano or acting since little childhood. And then being a teenager, it was very difficult to engage with other people. I always felt like I was thrown in this world in the mistaken age, like having this feeling that if there was a God, he made a mistake, a big mistake, sending me to that moment, that age, that place, etc. It was like everything was like wrong. I felt it always that way. And then, very grown up, I realized and I learned that no, I am exactly in the place where that God wanted me to be. And that always that feeling of not belonging and of not accepting the world I was in. And I'm not referring only that bad part of violence or war. I was referring the whole mentality of people, the whole way of living, the whole way of society and of individually living that I didn't agree with and that I feel estranged. I finally realized that I arrived to I was exactly in the place I had to be. I had exactly the experiences I had to take so that this man would be who he is, and then develop the mission that he has. And I'm very grateful with everything. Like all those thoughts I'm telling you about were like our old thoughts, like in the new Paul Victoria. I'm very grateful with God and with life of everything that I lived and experienced, because everything was were bricks building what was coming, and then I realized it late, but I realized it. I'm very grateful with every experience, and now I'm still like very outside the system and very transforming and the way I can everything. But without anger and without sadness and without frustration, but with a lot of happiness and joy, and just developing what I think is good for the world, with a lot of joy, really, but very anti-normal system.
And was there a kind of book or teacher or a special experience which was this turning point where you really said, yes, I'll walk this way, no matter what?
Well, I would say that many years ago, I started like to heal a lot of things that I hadn't healed since childhood, and I was like in a process with some coaches and some teachers and some courses and some personal development programs and personal growth. So I had not one, but a few teachers influential for me, and then that I'm very grateful to. But then later, like after I healed this natural part, then came a supernatural event. I had this encounter, metanoia, epiphany. I had a mystical experience 3 years ago. And that was like the final awakening that I had. So I had first this, in the natural sense, personal growth and development and healness and health, psychological health, and then came I cannot describe it. It was so important, intervention of a God in my life. And that changed everything. And in the last 3 years have been really interesting and different because my whole perspective of the world, of the universe changed hugely. And now, like I know from that moment, it revealed who I was and what was my mission. So since 3 years ago, I have no doubt about my mission, no sense of being a little bit lost or not with no I have a lot of clearness, clarity about who I am and what I'm doing and what I'm doing in this world and how I will going I'm going to end and return to my father outside this world.
Are your parents still living?
Well, my father died 1 year and a half ago from
I'm sorry.
cancer, and my mother's still living.
Oh, and do you have a still great connection to them?
Well, yes, I had a lot of difficulties with my father for many years, for most part of my life, really. Like when I was a young child, I was very well connected with him, and it was a very smooth and nice, and I learned a lot from him. And then when I was a teenager, I developed a conflict with him that I didn't know how to manage better, and he didn't know how to manage better. We were both ignorant about how that worked. So we had a lot of difficulties in my young age, but then in the maturity. In all this that I told you about this personal development and internal growth, I made all this healness and returned to him with a very good connection, and we again connected very well and developed a very nice relationship in the last years. And then fortunately, I had this when he had cancer, I really was very close to him and him to me, and we had a very nice connection and conversations. And I was with him until the last moment of his life, and accompanied until the last hours. And I had the last conversation with him before he died. He passed away, and we had a goodbye with full of love and pardoning and forgiving everything of the past and of our years of conflict. And it was very beautiful. It was like a gift of God that I received and he received, and we were very, very close at the end.
Wow, that seems like you can be very, very thankful for this. Thank you for sharing this with us. And now, exactly at the right time, we have a 2 minutes break. We see each other back, so please all stay tuned. We are back in approximately 2 minutes.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We continue now the talk with Paul Victoria, a very special, outstanding entrepreneur, which could help us change the world for the better by looking at it with a wider perspective and understanding what is possible on Earth the long the time we are staying here. Paul, you told me a little bit personal about the last time with your father. And it sounds very familiar to me. My father died also because of cancer some years ago. Yeah, sometimes I think about him. Sometimes I really miss him. I miss the discussions we had and every time we shared. You started with entrepreneurship quite early. What was your first entrepreneurial project? Official or unofficial, and what did it teach you?
Well, I would say that my first entrepreneurship was being a boy, selling candies to my classmates. That was, I first had it, I think my first selling was with 9 years old. And afterwards, and then in the teenage, I had a company, let's say a company, quote company, little teenage business selling sandwiches with some business partners. And I sold sandwiches not only to my classmates or school, but also to other schools at the same time. So I had distributors with in other schools that distributed my sandwiches, and I had this teenage business. It was beautiful because it gave me the first life experiences and a real income. And then I had so many in being a grown up, and I started my own fashion line, my own brand of clothes. But then I was broke with that, so I started a new one, and I was in so many businesses you can't imagine. Like, also I founded school, dancing school. So you know, like I brought products from Spain to other countries in South America. I was public relations for different clients. I was in the pharma industry too, having clients. I had like many experiences in many different sectors. Finally, I had this high impact communicators, high impact speakers would be in English the name, in Spanish comunicadores de alto impacto. Very nice school where I taught thousands of people how to communicate in public speaking, in interpersonal speaking, communication skills, writing speeches, nonverbal language, controlling of all the auditory of the public. All that was wonderful entrepreneurship. I had also this school, ultra-libertarian school of crypto economics. So I taught Bitcoin and many other crypto assets to hundreds of students during 5 years. I had this school open. Now it's closed, but I taught many of them about Bitcoin and all the crypto world. So I have many different experiences. And now my most important entrepreneurship right now, it's not a company, but a country. We're building a new country, which is called Liberland. You have the flag here behind my head, and it's called the Free Republic of Liberland. And from there, it's more than a company. It's a country. It's a micronation that we hope that will be the seventh micronation of Europe after Malta, Vatican, Monaco, Andorra, Liechtenstein, San Marino, and the Free Republic of Liberland. So it will be in the heart of Europe. We have 700 hectares that now we're starting the physical micronation because we have been many years building it virtually. So we have this digital nation with many, many, many thousands of people as Liberlanders. But now we're starting the first settlement, human settlement in the forest. So we're starting that, and we hope someday we'll become a whole city like Monaco or Andorra or Liechtenstein or San Marino and have a very prosperous nation, all based in freedom. I became a freedom warrior since 2016, where I fully converted to the Austrian School of Economics and to libertarian doctrine of politics and all that. So I have been almost 10 years being a freedom warrior and dedicating my life to freedom. And in many ways, my books, my articles, my speeches, conferences, etc., and my company's always directed to freedom of people. But now with this country, we have a really nice project of integrating everything and allowing the citizens, the Liberlanders, to live there in a completely free space without state coercion, without oppression, without taxes too, mostly, and having a freer society where people can develop themselves with their own way of happiness, with their own pursuit of happiness, with their own projects, and with being the only law not to intervene in the lives of others. Our lemma is live and let live. Free Republic of Liberland. So just have your own way of living, respect the others, just don't be aggressive with others. We're basing the non-aggression principle, the NAP, and it means that you cannot objectively do any harm to others. And accomplishing that, you can just develop your life as you want with your own project and your own way of happiness.
I like this concept so much. It hits so deep at my heart. And I have to share with you one little personal thing I got from got from my son to this to this Christmas, which is the Statue of Liberty. As he said, Mom, you never accepted anything besides freedom, and you never accepted this, that you want to be treated as a people, as you treat the people, and this is it feels so much at my heart what you are doing, and I hope and I will support you with whatever I can to make this true, as I think it is not just another country, it is a it is something which can be the symbol for liberty in the world, because it seems that parts of the world has forgotten it, what liberty means, what liberty of state means, what liberty of decision means, what liberty of thinking means, because we have accepted it due to pressure from outside, that we have to limit our thinking, limit our thoughts, limit our happiness even, because people tell us that we have to behave in that this or that way, right?
Very, very true what you just said. And Europe is losing its freedoms. You can see in England, thousands of people have been arrested because of expressing their thoughts different from the system. It doesn't mean, it doesn't, it, you don't need to agree or not to agree with what these people have expressed. That's not the matter. The matter is that they have the right to express themselves in Facebook, in social networks, and they have been arrested and taken to jail some days and having huge fines because just expressing what they think. So it's barbaric what has been happening in the last years in Europe. And yes, as you say, Liberland is not just a country, it's a symbol for the world. We are trying to return to the world a hope of freedom and being an example and a light for the world so that other countries can imitate us and see that freedom is the right way.
Yes, and I mean, I think you understood, you have understood very early that education is a key to that. Not, I mean, what you described me, what education you put into the world, this is a huge what you do, or what you have done. And what would you say, I mean, you stepped into education, you stepped out of education, and always with a clear understanding of education can do, and the both negative and positive side. What bothers you most about today's education system, and what pushed you to challenge it, and which way?
Well, look, I even had children homeschooled because I didn't like normal schools. I did everything as I didn't know anything different. So I made my school and college and degrees and master and all that. But really, I think something is truly wrong in education. I think mostly it's a waste of time and of energy, and not only a waste of time, but also an oppression for the person. I think children are from a very young age are oppressed in their talents, in their creativity, in their freedom, in their love for knowledge, because it's made so that you just can, you should step up to some standards and approve some exams and have some degrees and like attain some results that others evaluate for you, but it doesn't develop the true love for wisdom, which I wanted to teach my children to have a true love for knowledge and for loving it, not just for meeting someone else's requirements, but having their own. And it was what I developed, like this true love for knowledge. I study every day, still today, 2 to 4 hours a day, every day. I love to study in a very autodidactive way. Like most of my knowledge has not come from official schools or universities, but from my own studies, my own books, my own attending to conferences, knowing teachers and people, intelligent people, like all the time. And I think one should develop a very autodidactic way of learning, an autonomous way of learning, so that everyone can develop his own or her own way of education, because this massive education is like the same to everyone, in schools, everyone learning the same things, is very absurd when we are so different people. Why are we locked in with the same group, the same age, and learning exactly the same things and require the same requirements and standards? It's everything very absurd. Education should be very personalized, because really education is taking from the student the best of him and developing the best of him. It's like finding the light inside and bringing it forward and outwards. So really, education, and etymologically, the word education means that, from Greek origins, to take the best out from you to the outside. So it should be very personalized and not massive. And I think we have to change the entire education system, or at least what you can with your children or with your known acquaintances, people.
Yeah, absolutely right. I completely agree with you. I can imagine my mother taught to students when I was small. I could join her, and I remember as it was yesterday that I was there with my small little chair as a 4 years old in the big university, and followed her, and she introduced me as her child, and she had a course with her students about creativity, how to teach small kids about the senses, learning senses with creativity. And I was involved with this, and I did as if I would have been part of the students, and I can imagine every little step I learned on that day in this session, because it was creative. It was also that I was not taught as a small little something. I was taught as a student. So I sat among them and created something to smell better, to listen better, to know about herbs and their ingredients, and yeah, so many things which I have in my mind until today, and therefore we know what education is, what education can do in a positive but also in a negative way, right?
Yeah, very negative. It can be very, very negative. And then, being a grown up, you have to unlearn bad things or methods or mentalities that you learned. And you have to unlearn and learn again, more efficient and correct ways of personal realization and ways of acquiring knowledge. So, yeah, so education can do a lot of damage, but true education can only get you better and better every time.
Have you already thought about the education system for Liberland, with own university, school, kindergarten, everything?
Look, we as a free country, we don't have an educational politics. So we think that because of the good and high-profile people that are coming, they will all spontaneously make the best education system that could be, because of private initiative. And we don't have a Ministry of Education. We don't have most ministries. Like, most of them do not exist. We have only four of them, the essential ones to manage some things. But mostly, it's just entrepreneurship and personal freedom and personal business and personal also donations, because it's not just about business. Society is a lot more than the market. So we hope that also some good people will help with education, just because of their own will and vocation and mission, personal mission, and also businesses, and also and letting them compete and seeing which one is best, so that parents will choose for the children which system will be better than the other. And with all that free way of education, it will prosper with the best way possible.
I guess so. So
Very contrary than from normal countries that just impose from a Ministry of Education how all the millions of children of that country have to be educated, and nothing of bureaucrats and people thinking that they know more than you. How? No, just leaving entrepreneurs free to make their own value adding to society, and also in the educational way.
Yes, we hope so. There is a lot you could do in this way, right? So let us give a few minutes break to think about it, to see each other back in 2 minutes after the commercial break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
We continue our talk with Paul Victorian, and we just stayed where we talked about education, and I hoped that Paul would tell me, as an education expert and advocate, that he wants to build a whole school system in Liberland where the kids can grow up in a way we would love to make the world a better place. So, Paul, I mean, you... Not very early, also with economy, by your father, from your home's experience, with I think many people were at home discussing about politics, and the small Paul already got some information about the goods and the bad about economy and about politics. What uncomfortable truth about the economy do you think people avoid the most?
Well, yes, since I was a little boy, my father was politician, my father was economist, teacher of economics in universities. He was a very advanced economist. So I was in since a young age in these meetings, intellectual meetings, and I learned a lot. Instead of playing soccer with friends in the neighborhood or the school I was, every week in many, many adult meetings, learning high intellectual things, that I had that fortune in life. And well, hard truth. Look, because you're asking me only about economics and not about politics, which is a lot worse. But in economics that you ask, the hard truth that I found not only in those intellectual meetings, but then in real life and in entrepreneurship life and in adult life, was that you have to fight for your own interests. The world is not going to give you all the gifts. You have to be there in the right place with the right people, with the right idea, with the right attitude, with the right knowledge. To serve others, and as long as you serve others and that you add value to society, you can monetize it and have your own income. And the truth is that all the economic system of the welfare state is hugely makes a huge damage to people, to people's psychology, to people's psyche, because in the 20th century, mostly after the Second World War and today, the government has destroyed the psyche of people, making them believe that everything has to be guaranteed and everything has to be held by the state and given by the state freely. And we have many millions and millions and millions of, let's say, parasites in the world of people who don't know how to fight for their own interests, who don't know how to work, just want to live from the state and from free money and free services, and that has made a huge damage to society. I think every person was born to be an entrepreneur. This is a very interesting concept. The only school that defends this is the Austrian School of Economics that I know. Only school that we say that there every human being, for the fact of being a human being, is an entrepreneur. And if you are not an entrepreneur, it's because you have been damaged from childhood, from the system, from society, from these ideas that have diminished you. So your nature is to be an entrepreneur and to create and to add value to others by your own initiative and your own energy, and not because of obligation or force or just inertia. But you as a human being, you want to give from you to the world. It's your nature. And we have been destroyed in that level in a huge way. So the truth of economics is that everyone has to learn to thrive and to fight and to know himself or herself sufficiently so that he or she can know what is the best thing he or she can give to the world, and then make a living from it. And that money that comes to you is a reward for what you are giving to the world. So the more you give, the more rewards you have.
Absolutely, I completely agree with you. I wish that you are a whisperer in many politician ears, that they understand what they have to change. But
Well,
of
I am doing that. I am doing that with Mr. Javier Milei, in president of Argentina. He's a wonderful guy in many senses. He understands economics very, very well, like better than any other politician or president of the world. And then he has my book, The Austro-Libertarian Manifesto, like one of his reference books. And he's making all these changes in Argentina. In only 2 years that he have been on power, he has transformed Argentina, and it's from like a totally broke country and poor country. He has reduced poverty from 56% to now like 30% in only 2 years. So
Wow.
it's an incredible job has been. And so I have done a little bit of that influence for mainly one of my books, The Austro-Libertarian Manifesto, in the head of a president of the world. And it's having already its repercussion and consequences. So I'm very happy of doing that, of giving a little bit of light to the world, in this case, through a great president as Javier Milei in Argentina.
Oh, I'm very happy to hearing this, and I hope that this is a kind of virus, in a good way, which every politician gets, and that we can make this change for the better, which is so necessary. When you think about the whole noise and overload all everywhere, how do you restore mental clarity and mental strength every day?
For myself?
Yes.
Oh, very interesting question. No one has asked me that in any interview. Well, Annabelle, I will tell you, in my last times, right now, I am having 12 hours a day of retreat from the world. I don't meet people physically or virtually or news or apps or social networks for 12 hours a day, disconnected. And those 12 hours, I do a lot of things. I take care of myself in many ways, like doing exercise, eating, sleeping, etc. And but it's very important in that process, praying and meditation. So I try to do 1 hour a day. I don't make it every day, but it's my goal is to make it 1 hour a day of complete silence, prayer, and meditation with my candles and my rituals and my going into the mystical realm. And that gives me a lot of almost everything, you know, as that then gives me the strength to make my mission and to be strong in every situation. Many times people ask me how I am so strong, and well, the answer is in all this outside of the world, this 12 hours, that mainly that hour of praying and meditation gives me a strength that helps me to every situation, and I never fall. I never am always standing up.
Wow. That's great. I try it too, and most of the days I do this exactly as you're describing. No lounge music, no guided meditation, just me and being quiet, nobody else, just drop off everything. This is really the purest and most essential thing for me every day.
Good.
How do you manage your energy to sustain high performance without burnout? Because I meet a lot of people which have a very high performance and have a very high energy, then dropped down sometimes for meditation. But how do you manage this on a long scale? Because I know a lot of people which tell me, okay, I let you know I had 3 burnouts already.
Well, look, I sleep less than other people. Mm-hmm. I sleep 3, 4, 5 hours a day. And still I have a lot of energy all the time. And it's, well, mainly, I think, because of my cause, because of my intention and my internal strength of loving what I'm doing and loving people and giving all what I can to the world. And that gives me a lot of strength, like all the cause, the ideals, that thriving mentality to love and give all my love and my value. But also this, as I told you before, the praying and meditation, the exercise, the good food. Now I eat very different than how I ate before. Very, very, very different. It's very important that you eat only God-given products, mm-hmm. only what you see in nature, plants or animals, but not industrialized, packaged things that are artificial things. I think that way, and the study, all this study, 2 to 4 hours a day of study and of knowledge, and all this gives me a lot of energy, and but it's mainly love, mainly true love for the people, for myself, for God, for the universe, for humankind, and this is wonderful. That gives you a lot of strength.
You do so much for you, for your body, for your soul, for your heart, every day. What concrete practice would you recommend to others to strengthen emotional intelligence? Because what you have described during our talk is that also people often don't see things. They are just so much in their comfortable life, which is given by somebody, without seeing that their emotional intelligence drops down.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a complex answer. Well, I help some people to do it. I have a few clients a year that I give them this service of how to... I make a program for them so that they know themselves, so that they can identify which are the prisons, the jails that they have since very young age, and how was that developed, and how this is conditioning your whole personal freedom and your whole type of relationship with the universe. How you relate, or how is your relationship with your parents, with your spouse, with your children, with your friends, with your roommates, with your professional co-workers, with your clients. Everything is conditioned by your state of mind. So I make this program to identify which are the origins of your behavior, and then doing some exercises to liberate those things, and so you can be a lot more more plain and more happy and more free, and know that things don't have to be exactly as you think they have to be, but to open the mind and see a million of other possibilities and of personal happiness and freedom, and to give to others happiness and freedom, and that makes you that changes your mindset and your results and your way of living, your everyday living. So you have to know yourself and know how to liberate from those things, so you can see a huge world of possibilities that you can, and mainly know that you can go better every day, and if you are better 1% every day than you were yesterday. Imagine a year is 365% better. So I'm in a constant growth, and I recommend to every person that each person makes a personal growth, that every day be a little bit better.
Thank you so much, Paul. That was a great statement here for today. And I hope that many people take it also to next year. This could be something they can put on their changing list. So thank you so much for being here with us for today. And for all who would like to know more about Liberland, there is a lot in the internet. And I think, Paul, they can also reach out to you, right?
Yes, of course. There's a link, so you can know where all my social networks, or contact me personally, email, Telegram, etc. And if I can help someone in any way, mainly about happiness and freedom, please, I'm open to it.
So thank you so much again, Paul, and I'm very much looking forward to driving the word together with you to be a better place. And so that wraps us our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment. Your presence and engagement mean the world to us, and we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Remember, this time is a gift for you to discover new inspiration, embrace exciting insights, and find the motivation to live life to the fullest. Don't hesitate to get involved. Your voice is valued, and together we can make a difference. Thank you for being part of our community.
Thank you, Annabelle. It's a very pleasure.
Thank
you. See you and be here in your show. Thank you. It's an honor.
Thank you. And until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together, we rise.